And so wait till, if you think this is cool right now, wait till next year how this thing's going to explode. As the word gets out, man, it's okay to be married and enjoy yourself with the one God gave you. Serious. I even turned to my wife a few moments ago when he was just grooving on through that. I said, man, if you just give me a little kiss, I'll be just good when I get up there. So we couldn't hit on the lip side. I just said, all right, I'll take the side then. Give me that one. I just took it. Thank you. For real now. Oh, yeah. When I was much younger, the church was very embarrassing to me because what they presented and what they modeled weren't the same. And it was like, I don't want anything to do with this. If the presentation and the model don't match, go ahead and get out there and do whatever. God says there can be a match. There should be a match with the presentation and the model. We've been here since 1988, and we've been trying to model that through the storms, through the troubled times, through two occasions when Robin almost went home to be with the Lord, our love has not dwindled and fallen by the wayside. It's gotten stronger. So you got to have something on the inside that will carry you through the storms. Tonight, we're going to share with you. I brought that up there because she's worked hard for the last couple of days, and I want to take care of my bride. And I'm even so gracious to say, honey, I fully understand you're out of gas tonight. It's okay. But I'll catch you on the flip side. See, some of you can't be that real. And that's why you got all kind of crap going on in your marriages. Let me break this down. My wife has been working extremely hard with the other ladies for the last 2 days to make what you're seeing take place. So if she's really tired tonight, I'll catch her on the flip side. And she knows I'll keep my word. Your bedroom, your love for each other should always stay at a high decimal. There should be heat there, but it takes respect and reverence there to make it real. Come on up, baby. I love you, girl. I even gave you a place where you can sit down tonight so you can rest. But you ain't sleeping on the dance floor, baby. You ain't sleeping on the dance floor. But I know when you get home tonight, you're going to curl up and go sleepy. It's all right. Because you know what? Oh, we're all ready tonight, but I'm not script-oriented. I'm hoping that some men will wake up tonight. Because when we don't get our way, boy, can we get downright nasty. Amen. That wasn't the right place to say. Don't respond to that. Yeah, that's good stuff. Go on right there. Probably should have an altar for all of us men tonight. But after we repent, we're still coming back. Like, I'm here. How you doing? You're looking good tonight. Can we get together? I'll even take a rain check. Just don't mess with me during Ohio State football, baby. Oh, 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 oh. That must have been a lizard. I don't know. Oh, oh, Jesus. How many really had some fun tonight? Yeah? Absolutely. If Robin could get maybe the handheld mic, okay? And seriously, I honor you tonight. You can actually sit down and rest. I didn't realize, being 30 years older than her, I love to throw that stuff out there, because you all are going to go home and talk about that. Is he really 30 years older than her? Oh, my goodness. Let's start calculating. When did they meet? And when did he take hold of the cradle? I love to do that to people who absolutely dive deep into nothingness. You deserve that. And I'm real good at it. You ought to see what I do at school sometimes. They freak out. I had one of my co-laborers and workers, they said to me today, "Man, you're really crazy." I said, "Look where we work. The Levy Learning Academy. You got to be a little bit slanted just to be able to survive." Tonight, we're going to talk about how important it is to walk together. We're going to just share three things with you this evening. And I am excited about what's going to happen over there and the incredible work. Let's just take a moment. For all of you that have worked extremely hard, I got to tell you, in the last 48 hours, the work that's going on has been phenomenal. Men and women working so hard to make this a reality. I just honor the Lord and I honor them. And without you all, this is not possible. But then I've got to honor my wife, because what a leader. You're so quiet, so respectful of others, and you just keep plowing and getting things done. And I'm so proud to know that you're my best friend. I'm not asking for any treats, but I'll catch you on the flip side. Go ahead and ask her when you get by yourself with her, "Is he really that crazy?" And she'll tell you it's worse than what he actually shows. It's going to change as he gets older. Keep thinking that. Keep thinking that. It's going to get better, folks. It's going to get better. Tonight, we're honored that you're here. I have no idea what you're doing, but I hope your idea is my idea. God wants to recreate some passion inside of some of you. Expressive passion. To where you really go, "Wow, what we have is something you can't find in the marketplace." So we honor all of you that have worked tonight. Secondly, I want to honor Larry Seitz. I mean, it's incredible. The years that we have known each other, there's always been a camaraderie, a togetherness, a fellowship. Walking to where he can say, feels like family. He said when we were here late this afternoon, he said, "Feels like home." That's what it should be in the body of Christ. That's what it should be in your marriage too. Or those of you that are single that are looking forward to that day. By the way, it's always forward, not backward. Even if there have been some tough places you've gone through, I have good news for you. It's a message that should have always stayed within the body of Christ. God will fix what was broken. God can repair that was destroyed. He can give you a brand new beginning tonight. And then I haven't actually had a chance to talk to them yet, but you're in for a special treat tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon. We're not speaking after tonight. Aren't you glad? And if we're not here, just remember, it's on the flip side.
We'll be here.
Look, I used to skip out of church when I was young. Don't put it past me not to be here. If she gives me one signal, she knows I won't be here. I'm not even going to talk about it. Oh, he is a good Lord. He's a great God. Now, let me let you understand, this is a marriage conference. I'm embarrassed by the way young people act in our communities. I'm embarrassed by the way those that don't know Christ are going for it wide open. And we who are in Christ, we're so conservative that it's raunchy. I'm glad this is on podcast. If I didn't already know him and walk in his presence, if I was to watch some Christian couples, I would never want to be around Christ. But Jesus was the life of the party when he was here. And he still is. Through you and I. You're never going to hear me go beyond where I am right now, but I want you to know, after all these years of ministry, after all these years of education, we've got something that's real, that's dynamic. It's not perfect, but we're in love. Aren't we? My good friends from many, many years ago are here tonight, and they're going to handle both sessions tomorrow. Frank and Sherry Hawley. Wow, all the way back from North Carolina many, many years ago, now serving the Lord in the state of Florida. If you think I'm crazy, it's partly his fault. And there's a couple others that were with us back in the day. And there's no need to act like, I don't want him to come in here and go, what the heck happened to him? He's not the same person that he used to be. It better be similar to what it was and a heck of a lot further than where I was. So we're honored that Frank and Sherry are with us. They're going to do session 1 and 2 tomorrow. And it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to hear what God has to say to our hearts as a couple. And I have to tell you that tomorrow afternoon at 3:30 is college football. So you're going to have to wait, okay? I can't miss Ohio State's game tomorrow afternoon. So if I'm not here at 3:30, it's not because I flipped anything. I got to get home, all right? Turn to somebody and say, he's a man of commitment. Come on. There you go. There you go. I am a man of commitment. Let's talk about walking together tonight. There's only three things that I want to share with you. I don't want you to feel like this is a church service. I want you to permit the Holy Spirit to begin exploring some things in your life that he would like for you to take a look at so that you can walk together for a long, long time. And I want to tell you what I'm about to share with you, and Robin's going to be right there sharing with me, to all of us, are things that have worked for us. Okay? Things that have worked for us. Father, we love you tonight. It's fun to be here. Please help this ministry to never be churchy. Help us to be real, practical, relating to the issues of life, and always bringing up the victory of the cross, the open tomb, the upper room, and the soon return of Jesus Christ. And because we know he's coming again, we know that. We want to live life to the max. In Jesus' name, amen. I've often said to the Lord, could you kind of let me, should I share this? Why, of course I should. Whenever she gives me a veto, that's power to go ahead and share it. I've always said to the Lord, could you kind of give me a hint when you're getting ready to come back so I can have one more flip moment with her? Yep. I'm just so tired of Christians trying to be something other than just followers of Jesus Christ. So I want you to know, I'm not a loose cannon up here at all. I gauge everything that I say and that I do. But I want you to understand how real it really should be in the body of Christ. And before you judge everything that I've said, you better check my track record in this community. Uh-oh. I won't do what I did this morning at First Baptist. I won't get to that level. But I want to tell you something. If you sit in church and judge the man of God or the woman of God, that's what you're doing in your marriage. Because judgmental spirits don't just show up at church. They operate in the home. And then all hell breaks loose at the house. Because you're into her stuff and she's into your stuff. And then all of a sudden you can't enjoy the stuff. The good. I don't know why I always keep coming back to that. But you know what? I've often said to Robin as we get ready to talk about walking together. That would be Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. I said there's two awesome gifts that I know that God put in this earth. Number one, salvation. Number two, sex. It's true. They're great gifts. And you really don't enjoy number two, sexual relationship in marriage, without salvation. It's really true. Because those outside of Christ who are enjoying sexual relationships are doing it for what they can get, not out of, oh yeah, I won't put any of my words there. Don't you feel better? Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? So I kind of asked her many years ago in North Carolina, here's who I am. Here's the good, the bad, and the ugly. What do you think? Would you like to be a part of that? Would you like to team with me? Can we do this together? I mean, I could tell we could hit it off. But I wanted to make sure that it went deeper than what the sparks could permit or create. So tonight we're going to share as a couple with you what has worked for us through the years. What does it take to walk together? So as we kind of just look at these for a few moments and just trust tonight that we're going to stay, I want you to be able to trust that we're going to stay right on point, right on time management, because I want to get in there and I want to have some fun. I'm looking forward to all the fellowship, the good food. I do want to dance with her. I love to dance with her. And I can't wait for tomorrow. But I want to ask you a question this evening. What does it take for you to walk side by side with that person God's put in your life? And a nice way to start that is to ask my wife, what has it meant for her to walk with me? And then we're going to look at three things from God's Word. What it's going to take for you to walk together. Way past this weekend. Are you ready? So what's it been like walking with me? And boy, am I out on a limb right now. Lord Jesus, why did I say that? What's it been like? How's it worked for us?
It's been exciting. It's been exciting. You never know what's going to come out. That's
not true. You do know what's going to come out. Never mind.
Well, okay.
I just wanted them to see that you knew the truth because you never know what's going to come out. By the way, there's not enough medication to kind of quiet me down, all right? So if you think maybe if we could just get a prescription, we can get him on the right meds. That's why I work so well at the academy with kids. I understand about the meds. Okay? Keep going.
Our relationship has been a give and take. You can't always be the taker, and you can't always be the giver. You have to have a give and take relationship. There's days that I take. There's days that I give. And there's days that he takes, and he doesn't know that he takes. He, you know, but he does. But there, that you have to have a give and take relationship, and I think we do that well.
So if you're going to have a give and take relationship, you better have a foundation underneath that that makes it work. It was the Lord that gave to us the theme for this year. Last year it was falling in love. This year it's walking together. Can you see the connection? Seriously now, can you see the connection tonight? If you fall in love, that's real cool. But can you walk together? That makes it really cool. So in order for us to live in that kind of a relationship for a long time, where she is able to receive from me, I like that word a little bit better, and I'm able to give to her. By the way, word structure is very important in marriage. Because when she first used the word, oh, you're getting your juice back. Darn. I'm praying while I'm up here tonight that God will just give her resurrection power. I'm praying for the quickening of the Holy Spirit. Oh, y'all, so serious. Lord Jesus. He touched me. If you're going to have a relationship where she is able to receive from me when she needs things from me, which receive is a better word than take, because all of us are human beings and we don't like anybody to take anything from us. Okay? But when she's able to receive what she needs from me and I freely give to her what she needs from me and vice versa, then we've got to look at the very first thing, what it means to walk together in agreement. It's okay to have disagreements, but it's not okay to go to bed on disagreement. Because those begin to foster and create fuel that begin to upset your relationship. So in order to walk together, I want you to listen to this tonight, your relationship's got to be based on the Word of God. Not on your status, not on your economy, not on your structured mindsets, not on anything else. It's got to be based upon the Word of God. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 9, it says, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." What has made Robin and I stay together through all the storms, and there have been many, has been the fact that we are word-based. I'll share for a moment from my home, and then I'm going to let her share from her home. I grew up with a good dose of God's Word, as in family devotions was every day. We closed every day with the reading of God's Word and family prayer. And my dad did not miss one day. It was a mandated thing in our family. I certainly drift away from that when I was much younger, but I am all the way back into it. That you have got to base your relationship on the Word of God. It will help settle power struggles. Tonight I'm not going to talk about power struggles, but when I see couples in power struggles who are Christians, I know that they're not word-based. You must be word-based. This isn't the night for me to talk about how important it is to have a base as an athlete, either as in baseball, football, or basketball, and there are many other sports. But you must have a word base. So I'm going to let her share for a moment on how she saw God's Word operate either in grandparents, of course within her mother, and the impact that God's Word has been in her life. It has to be there, and let me tell you why. When those two times came back in the 90s, when we thought that Robin wasn't going to make it, I was able to connect with her spirit, with God's Word, because there was Word in her spirit. I hope you just got that, because He will rock your marriage if you're not Word-based.
We were not a family that had devotions necessarily every day like he did. My dad was, he was a Christian, but he was not, we didn't have devotions every day. My mom, of course, read her Bible every day and would share with my dad things. And we as kids, when we were getting ready for school, whatever, I could hear what was going on. But my grandmother was a very big, she was, I guess, our matriarch, our big time, she was the Word lady. She was always in the Word, always. Always prayed for every one of us. So I guess that's where I came from, was more my mom, my grandmother and my mom, because my dad was not very strong. I mean, he was Christian, but he was not a very strong Christian.
So you can see tonight with what she shared and with where I came from, how the Lord took and melted those two backgrounds together. Let me say this to those who may be single tonight, or those that would listen on podcast. If you're serious about a long-term relationship, there has to be a blending of backgrounds. Otherwise, there's going to be a head-on collision many times in a marriage. So there has to be some reference points that you can draw on, that you know that when it gets extremely difficult in that relationship, you're not going to opt out because of your backgrounds that have brought you together, that gives you word base. So what am I saying as we leave this first incredible principle about walking together? Without God's Word, you won't. And I want to let you know that as a result of this weekend, your marriage or your relationship that you're moving into towards marriage will come under attack, because the enemy hates God's Word. And you have got to center everything on His Word. If you don't, you're not going to be able to make it on the second one. What was the first one? Base your relationship on God's Word. Let's look at number two. Walking together also means the bending of our wills. Word-based, wills bent. Listen, you can talk to me all day about you're a word person, but if you have a will that's never been bent, you're blowing smoke. And I don't have any time for that or you. It was Evan Roberts in the Welsh Revival, the theme of the Welsh Revival that I was able to go and visit, not the revival when it took place, but years later in Welsh. Listen to me. Listen closely. Here was the prayer. Bend me, O Lord. And most couples don't want to do that. Oh, they don't mind getting it on in a bedroom or any other room or any other place. I'll get you back and lightened up a little bit. But then all of a sudden they become cantankerous and their wills begin to set in against each other. The way to come through a will battle is God's word. God wants to bend some wills in here tonight. Because sometimes we can actually withhold what belongs to our partner because we're in a manipulation form. God wants our wills to be bent. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21, it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I know in the old time church, I want all the men to know that you're the head of the house and every woman has to submit. I have great news for you tonight. The Bible says that we are all to submit. Robin and I need to submit both of our lives to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I even heard the Holy Spirit say to me today at the academy before I was preparing to leave because I was thinking about tonight. He said, you can stop talking about being the head of the home and why don't you start saying I'm the head? How's that feel to you, men? No wonder our churches are so jaded and junked up with stuff because we've got men who come into the body of Christ where he is the head and ooh, are we at war with the head. And then we go back home and try to show out. Well, there's more inside that man than just flipping the thing with his wife. The head of the church and the head of a godly marriage is not the man, it's Jesus Christ. And he wants both of us to bend our wills to his word. So I'm going to give her a chance to talk again. Because she has such incredible insight for us. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love is not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrong. If you want to know if you're in a battle of wills, just check your record account. See how many times you have reminded your partner, your wife, your husband, or that person you're about to marry. Let me tell you how many times you've offended me. Let me tell you how many times... That's the battle of the will. Okay? Now, I want you to get this tonight because we're almost to the finish line. You're looking at two individuals who have strong wills. Just because she's quiet, you all don't know how to read. This girl right here was born in North Carolina, and Lord Jesus. Let me tell you what a man of God said to me many years ago. You can take that girl out of the mountains, but you can't take the mountain out of that girl. No, 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 no. That's not being, listen, I didn't realize how strong she really was when I first saw her and I took her down to Georgia, to that Georgia football game. I knew how good she looked, but I didn't know how strong she was. Sex, looks, can get you into things you're not ready for. And oh, how well we love to play the Christian role when we're in church, but we know down inside, just touch me and I'll show you what I got. I don't mean touch as in physical touch. Just touch my will one time. I'll show you real quick. You're just looking at people who've never been bent by God. So I like to sometimes say in my heavenly prayer language, sick 'em, Lord. Sick 'em. Sick them. Get them, Lord. Because you're never going to accomplish anything in the kingdom without your will being bent. I don't care how much money you carry. I don't care what you're dressing in. I don't care what you're driving. If your will's not bent, there's not one thing you're doing for the kingdom that's going to be called an advancement of the kingdom. Let me show you what it means, and then I'd like for Robin to talk about maybe some times where our wills clashed. So that gives her a chance just to think. Because you're going to have those moments in relationships where your will and that other person's will is going to clash. How you handle that is going to determine where you go from there. You want to jump on that a little? Just a little what do you think about that one time? She's a strong lady. She has kept me going when there wasn't anyone like this here in the ministry. Just because she's not always ministering the word and speaking up front, please don't think like, wow, she must just be kind of, She's strong. She's strong. And it was the strength of the Lord in her and the character traits that he put in her that got her through some real close appointments. When people even came to the hospital and said,
yeah, she's on her way out,
I ran them out of the room. Almost cussed them out of the room. I'm a warrior, folks. Okay, Jesus didn't cuss at them, but I'll tell you what he did. He got them out of the room. Sorry, I'm not Jesus. I might have to say something. But if you're not going to speak life in that kind of a situation, I'm going to let you know about it. And you can just take... Go. That was a mix of, never mind. What's it like to be married to a man who has a strong will? Why did I say it that way? Jesus. We only got one more thing to say and then I'm done.
It's good in a sense. It's good in a sense because he is strong and I know that. And I know how far I can push before it pops up. Most of us know that, all you ladies do. But I guess our main, where our wills clash the most is about finances. Because I have the way I think it needs to go, and that's that. And he has the way he thinks it needs to go. And so we clash at times. And I hate the word budget. So you know who's right. It's him. It's not me. But I hate the word budget. And it just drives me crazy. And when I hear it, it's like, ugh. So that's where we struggle. And the enemy knows that. The enemy knows where we struggle. And so what does he do? He pours more on. So if I give in, I would be better off. So if there's a struggle that you guys are having in your relationships, look at it, because it's probably something that reoccurs a lot. You have difficulties in that area. There's times that you're running smooth, and then there's times that you just go poof right down. And that's an area where I really need to work. I know that. And I have to say that in front of all y'all. That's bad. It's on podcast. Oh, my God. But I know I do. And once you get through that, then the enemy has to find someplace else to fight you. So I'm to that point now. I'm done being broke. I'm done fighting that part. And I mean, I just think that in a relationship, when you see in yourself what you're doing, and you know that that's something that you need to stop or whatever, I think you've reached a point. It's almost like Alcoholics Anonymous. When you finally say, yes, I am an alcoholic, you start getting better. And I'm not going to say that. I like to spend money. I'm sorry.
Oh, Bender.
I do. So that, I think the way to get through the wills and to be able to work it is to realize and not think that you're always the right one. Look at it from their viewpoint. Why does he want to be on a budget? You know, why does this or why is that? And then when I can see that side of why, then I can start working on me. And that's where I think all of us need to be, working on ourselves. Don't try to change him. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. And it will cause many, many arguments. It'll cause many, many hurt feelings and many, many where you have to say, I'm sorry. But if you realize it and stop it, you can make it better right now. And I mean, I don't know who I'm speaking to. I know I'm speaking to myself. But I think there's others out there too. And just give in.
No. I'm talking about the strength of the will right there. That's what I'm talking about. I always look for that moment when there might be a tear. It's like, oh yeah, here I come. Come on, baby. Let's see what this is going to look like. Come in one time, baby. I see a little tear. Got a little smoochy smooch. Come on, baby. Oh yeah, I'm right. That's not what I wanted. I didn't want that. I'll take that. But you know what I really want? I want that nice kiss. We're almost at the finish line this evening, and she's been very gracious to share without divulging. How critical when you're in leadership that you don't divulge beyond a point. Very critical. Very important. My father, my earthly dad, gave me three things that has stayed with me the duration of this journey of called life. He said, son, if you're going to be successful in life and in marriage and in ministry, remember these three things. These will be the attack zones of the enemy. You might want to write these down tonight. Number one, power. There's a lot of men and women in ministry who have no call from heaven, but man, do they love the position. And they drain God's people because they're power freaks. You'll want to go back and listen to that on podcast. Because when you walk out of a church gathering of God's people and you feel like you've been drained, everything's been just taken out of you, you're probably in a power environment. Mm-hmm. So guard against power. And you know that's one of the weapons he uses in a marriage. And by the way, I also know my line and my limit. Like, I know that I'm about 85% how far I can go the way I've been messing around tonight. Because when we get home, she'll say, do you think all that was necessary, son? And then I'll go crazy and do stupid stuff like you all wouldn't even begin to gather. Can you up my medicine? No, I deal with that a lot, and I'm amazed at how many parents think that that's the answer. It's not medicine that our children need. They need parents who are word-based. They need parents whose wills are being bent by the Holy Spirit, and we're almost at that last one, and we're looking for those other two things, right? So my dad said, watch out for power. Very destructive in the ministry. Very destructive in marriages too. Secondly, he said, pay attention to money. Both in the ministry and in your marriage, because there will always be a Judas in the house. Oh, the spirit of the prophet rests upon me. I can spot a Judas coming. I can tell a Judas so fast. Because everything Judas did was to dwindle and swindle what the king was all about.
I don't know if we can do this. How are we going to get it done?
Well, since you are still on the throne, we won't. But if you'll get off the throne, we will. I love to just trust the Holy Spirit. But it can also be an incredible power struggle in your marriage over finances. He owns it, you don't. Back in July when we had to go to Columbus because my brother went home to be with the Lord, I couldn't even be there for the funeral. And I told you, we were taken into a room and he was just laying on a slab. No joke. Covered with a blanket. I'm telling you the gospel truth. And I looked and I didn't see any money in his hands. And I didn't see any of the stuff that he had gathered in this life that was there with him in that little room. So stop clutching. Stop grabbing. When you do, you're destroying. And you put all the makeup on that you want, not yourself, on the situation, it's still going to be a mess. And then, of course, last, what was number one? Power. Number two? Money. Pay attention to money. And then, of course, number three, guard your sexuality. Like, I know my limits in here, but if you think I'm going to take you beyond that, in the intimacy of our relationship? No way. Never. Well, do you talk like this at work? Absolutely not. We're in the family of God here. So I want you to know what has worked for us and how protective we are about what we have. You better protect what you have. Because there are others that could be jealous of what you have and they will play the role of destruction in your marriage. That's why we just don't hang out with everybody. Because I've got too much invested. Well, you act like you just think whatever you want. I know that I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. And I know that I'm responsible to Him for this community and the growth of this ministry that is going to go incredibly crazy. And the protection of my marriage and my children and my grandchildren and the school where God's planted me. Therefore, I have got to guard my sexuality. But I got to tell you, if you're married, you should be having fun. If the movies are better than your bedroom, shut the TV off. Go make a movie. That was good. Ooh, baby. I'm going home and unplug the TV. Woo, baby. I feel it. Ooh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let's wrap this up. Jesus, get me out of this. Lord, Jesus, get me through this. No wonder the old time preachers used to say, go home and throw your TVs out. That makes sense to me. Just open up the bedroom, baby. I'm coming. No, the TV is not going off at 3:30 tomorrow. I'll make a deal with you right here in the presence of God and all of His people. If you can get the kids out of the house, I'll give up the game. What you got going on, baby?
I'll do it. I won't.
Y'all witness to this, right? I got to make sure Joshua tapes the game because I'll get to watch the game later. Are we still on? ooh, Jesus. Oh, take me as I am, Lord. Let's get the last one and call it good, okay? Oh, man. Is it 3:30? My blood pressure medicine isn't working real good right now. All right. This may not need to be on podcast. So when you walk together and you've made an agreement to walk together, you're word-based, you allow God to blend your wills by bending them. And then the last one, when you walk together, that means you work blended at the home. I'm going to talk about that for just a moment. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. So there's some great rewards coming to our children and grandchildren. Okay? Let me give you this example, and then Robin can kind of tie some things, and then we'll look to the finish line and see what God wants to do. I knew over the last 2 days that Robin was maxed. In fact, she took time off from work so that she could be a part of what's happening here for this weekend. And there's been some curveballs that the enemy has thrown, like one of our top leaders, Sabrina. We need to lift her up in prayer and speak divine healing over her body. She's not going to be able to be with us at all this weekend. I'm thinking of Kelly, one of our elders, and he's, you know, here and his wife is home and needs a touch from the Lord. So one of our key leaders, workers. By the way, if you're not a worker, you're not a leader. You might think you are, but you're not. I just tell them, I'm going to be honest with you. Okay? Let me explain to you this way. I used to tell kids all the time, if you think you're a point guard and you can't dribble to the left, you can only go right, sit down. You got to handle the basketball on both sides of the court. But if you think you're going to be a leader in the kingdom or a leader in this house and you don't work, you're not a leader. And you're certainly not leading at home either. Let's talk about this illustration. So I knew my wife was maxed out, and I came in this evening, and there was a couple things that I knew she needed for me to do as a co-laborer in our home. And so I just kind of rebuked those thoughts. Yep, that didn't come from the Lord. That was not God. You don't need to tidy anything up. You don't need to sweep anything. You don't need to put away anything. You don't need to clean anything. That's not God. Well, that changed, and I did my part so that when she came in, the house would be tidied up, things would be vacuumed, and areas would be cleaned up, because we have chosen to be word-based. We have chosen for our wills to bend, to do the will of God, and we blend our work. Like, remember the old TV show, Not My Job, Mon? Remember that TV show with that particular Freddie Prince, I think was the individual's name? Not My Job. And there's a lot of people who are married that absolutely have that attitude. And then as men, we wonder why it's not so hot anymore. Wherever you like for it to be hot. I like it to be hot everywhere. Car, truck, everywhere. It'll be hot. Oh, yeah, let's go. Oh, let's get it. Oh. Well, if I'm going to play at that level, then it's got to stay hot when she needs me, when she needs me, where she needs me. I need to match up and get that done for her. Okay? So, gentlemen, when you go home, before you think about what's on your mind, I know I've been your spokesperson tonight. I'll take the heat. See what you can do to help her. See what you can do to lighten the load for her. Very, very important. So there are the three nuggets for tonight's session. Word-based, our wills bending, and then you've got to have an assessment. I want you to kind of then tie how we have worked together. Will you tell them about North Carolina and how cool you were? Or do you want me to talk about that? How cool you were when I was dating you? Remember that in the little greenhouse? You don't remember that? Yes, you do, chick. You must have an assessment, otherwise you don't know if you're being deceived. The way that I know that we're walking together is that we're working together. And you can say all day, oh, we're word-based, brother, I carry my Bible. Yeah, you cut everybody you see. And man, our wills are blending and are bending together, but do you work for each other? Or do you go, why didn't you get that done? Can you turn the TV channel for me? I can't get up. Where's my supper? You know I want supper at 5 o'clock. I am so... I'm so aggravated right now with you. I don't know what to do. Y'all know you say things in the house that you don't say in here. That's why I did that. You got to be willing to work together, to walk together. I'd like for you to share at the end. Listen, the only way he destroys your relationship is when you no longer walk in agreement. The key to anything in the kingdom is agreement. That's why God's doing what he's doing in this house, because we walk and work together and we're in agreement. As you kind of wrap up, what's the Lord placed on your heart? You don't have to talk about North Carolina unless you so desire, but how we as a couple have really worked together. And we've seen it in our children. And we've seen it carried out in our children. You want to kind of wrap up, and then we'll see what the Holy Spirit wants to do as far as speaking to their hearts.
When we were dating, when you date, you check each other out. It's like, how do we deal with each other? How are we? We could always work together. And you know how some people, when you work together, if they're not doing it the way you want it done, you get, wait till they leave and you change it or whatever. We didn't do that. We worked well together. We did. We always have. And I've always been like, I always said if he was a hunter, I'd be out there hunting. If he was, he was a basketball coach, I was sitting right behind him. That's what you do. You support each other. It is being, not that you're changing yourself, but you're adapting to what each other likes. Like, he don't like to go to the mall. He don't go to the mall. You don't. You need to work on that. You don't.
I hate the mall.
He does on, like, right around Christmas. He'll go with me. And that's okay, because when he's with me, I can't do as much as I can when he's not with me. So me and Brittany have fun. We go by ourselves. But you work together, and you get to know each other. You get to know how he likes to do that or how he doesn't like it done. He gets to find out how I like to do it or how I don't like to have it done. And it's just you learn to like each other. You learn to work together. And when you work together, you get a lot accomplished. I mean, I get a whole lot more accomplished when he's working with me than when we're fighting about how it's supposed to be done. God has blessed us in that area, really and truly. Because, I mean, I've seen couples that's just a real issue. They don't work together. They do, whatever. They're going different directions. And Jesus has to be your center. And then you work around him. And then everything will flow like it's supposed to. But if I'm working over here on this project, and he's working over here on this project, but we never bring that project together, what good is it? I mean, seriously. Neither one of us are accomplishing anything much. It doesn't do any good to the home. It doesn't do any good for us as a couple. I mean, it's just like working outside your home. I work outside the home. I do things at my job that he doesn't benefit at all from. He does things at his job that I don't benefit. But when we're in our home, we need to work together so that we all benefit, so our kids benefit, so you guys benefit. Because if all we ever did was work apart from each other, who benefits? Nobody. I mean, you might get a pat on your back, but that's about it. But when we all work together, it all comes together and it all looks great and it's all good for everybody, not just for me or not just for him or not just for you. So work together in your relationship. Work together. I don't know how else to say work together, but don't argue about it. Just get in there and work about it. Even though I may not like the way he does things, if the job gets done, he folds towels. Awful. But the job got done. So I do sometimes go behind him and fold them up again.
Sometimes.
But the job got done. And we work together to get it done. He vacuums a whole lot better than I do. He goes all, he's good at vacuuming. So that's what he did this evening. The house really didn't need it. We hadn't been at home long enough for it to get dirty. But He did. And that was cool. It's done now. I don't have to do it tomorrow at 3:30.
Oh, you know what's happening tomorrow afternoon, don't you? Huh? Man, here's what's beautiful about this. Before Ohio State scores, I have good news for you. I just want you to run wild with that whole concept right now. So if it's a boring game in Columbus, it's going to be wonderful in Chiefland. I always taught athletes, make sure you put it in the end zone, put it in the bleachers, that would be baseball, or please put it through the cylinder. I like the way some of you are beginning to think. Thank God. Thank the Lord. God wants us to have so much fun. He really wants us to have fun. And as Larry comes to the keyboard, and we're getting ready to go enjoy ourselves, I'm praying tonight that the Lord has spoken to singles, couples, and you feel refreshed. You've learned something about what it means to walk together. And I want to use my dad's three areas that we've got to always keep in check. And that is this. If you're here this evening in session one, and there's been power struggles in your relationship, we're not going to ask you to come in a counseling format. This is not a counseling night. We want to set ourselves in agreement that power struggles are going to be broken. Perhaps things haven't been as hot as they used to be. You've got to give up 3:30 to get them. But maybe your intimacy is not where it used to be and it needs to be there. We're going to invite you to come. We're not going to ask you, now what are you standing here for? Really? Tell me more. Going to do any of that. We're going to give you a chance to come, and we're going to pray with you, and we're going to believe God in agreement tonight that power struggles are going to change overnight. Absolutely not. Day by day. And then maybe there are some of you that have had issues just like the Webbers have, where one sees the budget and the other sees a different type of budget. Or no budget. More lives have been wrecked over those three areas. Power, money, and sex. Homes have been destroyed. Children. Some children are homeless tonight. Heard a story. I'm not trying to pull on your heartstrings here. I want you to know what's going on in our communities. Heard a story of a homeless girl in the Bronson area. One of our co-laborers, co-workers, made sure that she was able to graduate, but she actually lived at the cemetery. She was homeless. I'm not going to tell you any more of the story, but we don't even have to go beyond the network of the Tri-County area. There are so many people that are hurting so deeply. And if we'll learn to walk together, you're going to find people wanting to come walk with you. Because you know that you're word-based. You've learned to bend your will to the will of God. And then you're learning how to work together. Blending your word. If those categories fit you tonight, I want you to come and stand across the front for prayer. It's going to be a general prayer. I'm not going to get into anybody's business. I'm not going to ask you anything. But we're going to pray together. Awesome. Awesome. Come on. This is why we're here. Yep. Yep. Awesome. Yep. Yep. Come on, Robbie. We're going to have fun in just a few moments. We've had fun in here. We're going to have a lot of fun in the food and dancing. Really have fun. I want you to have fun tonight. Got your mic? You can go to your, find the mic. I want you to pray. I hope that if you've been a part of this ministry, you can see that I'm a blender. And I really trust her walk with the Lord. I'm where I am today because, of course, my heritage, presence of the Lord, but an incredible lady who puts up with a lot of junk. Y'all saw some of it. I didn't untap everything. But if you've got a special person in your life, you better keep that person. There's not many out there. God's doing a good work in our lives. And so, sweetheart, tonight, we're standing here across the front. Some are just bowing where they're seated, and that's fine. This isn't a mandatory thing that we have to walk to the front. It's a good thing, but it's not mandatory. And I'd like for you to pray for all of us tonight that we'll begin to learn how to walk together like we've never walked before. It's going to strengthen our communities. And so as you pray tonight, I'm agreeing with you as you pray that power struggles are going to begin to decrease. Sexual intimacy is going to increase. Hey, baby. God help me. And that money issues will be settled. Pray for us tonight. Let's do it.